as you expand, after you start with your initial package and now you're in the growth mode, they'll fund your growth because they believe that much in the business and in their franchisees.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Catherine and Ernie Padolino, founders of Cool Bins. Today, we're discussing how they disrupted an $11 billion industry, how a hurricane in 2017 forced them to innovate, create, and patent the first-to-market climate-controlled portable storage unit, how their idea took off and now being used far from just storage, and their recent acquisition by Belfour, the world's largest disaster restoration company. We hope you enjoy the show, and please follow us as we drop new episodes each week on Wednesdays. All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Where are you from? Get us now calibrated and level set the call. Where are you from? How you got here?
We're from New Jersey originally. Retired in 2015, came down to Naples, Florida, and we purchased a storage building just as you were saying, storage is hot, right? And there's no attic, there's no basement here, so it's like, let's do that. The odd thing is our building that we purchased did not have climate control. So we decided, you know, we could either put climate control in or we could try to, you know, add on to our building and put climate control. And then at the same time, a few years later, we were renovating our house and we shipped our stuff down from New Jersey. We put it in storage while we're doing the renovation, and Kathy could tell it best that it got destroyed.
We moved down here and moved all our things down in a container, and our house was being renovated. The storm hit. We had to stop the renovation. Everything got left in that container, which we were told was put into a climate-controlled warehouse. And it sat there for almost 10 months because it was very difficult to get a house redone after a hurricane here. And when we brought it home and took the things out, a third of them were ruined, at least. And so we wound up having to throw them out. And so Ernie and I were sitting one day and we were talking about our storage situation and throwing these things out. And I said to him, I said, why can't we do this better? Why can't you climate control one of these? And that's kind of how a lot of these businesses start, right? Find a need and fill it. Separate from the product itself, the experience from the phone calls through the pickup of the container was so unconsumer friendly that I just wanted to change that. So I wanted to build the business, which it became later on, around a very customer service company, which we are to this day. And it has what has made us successful.
Yes.
That's great. So you have this negative experience. I'm imagining it was mold and mildew that destroyed fabrics and things of that nature, right?
It was also surprisingly, not surprising, I guess, the heat, because the warehouse we stored our container in was not climate controlled. So down here in the heat, even our appliances that were white turned yellow. Rubber things from the kitchen ruined.
Unreal. This is Irma. This is 17, Irma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Floridian. I don't know if you know. So I'm a New York transplant to, believe it or not, your backyard. Marco Island, 1988. I moved several years later to Naples. I lived in Imperial Gulf Estates for several years. And then I moved over to Boca Raton, Delray Beach. So like you, I've been through so many storms, right? And also transplanted from the Northeast. I can relate to a lot of what you're saying, other than I wasn't renovating and put my stuff in storage and had it destroyed. But I can certainly, I'm from the restoration business, water, fire, mold, and biohazard. I know you know all about that because of Belfour. So I was with PuraClean. I was actually their executive vice president and one of their top franchisees in the country out of Annapolis, Maryland. And I can tell you, I know all about the damage, the destructive damage, expensive from just water damage, mold, right? Everything, fires, all this stuff. So this is one of the reasons as well why I kind of chased you down. I'm like, I want to have this guy on our show. I want this brand on the show. I think this brand is really cool. And I like disruptors. I think as entrepreneurs, you're a disruptor. You came into an industry and disrupted what was dominated by, what, four people? Rob, I'm going to really call it two. It's Pack Rats and Pods, right? They dominated this space. You guys are pretty badass going up. You're going toe-to-toe against some big brands.
Well, that's why we had to team up with someone like a Belfour. We weren't even for sale, and we were just enjoying the snowbird type of retirement. And then the business had a mind of its own, and it decided that it wanted to keep growing. And we're like, no, we're trying to keep it small. And I wanted to keep investing in trying to find how to build a better mousetrap. Belfour came along, said, no, we don't know what we could do with this. This could be just a keystone part of the franchise world if we take it and run with it. Belfour Franchise Group has been instrumental with that vision, obviously. I was more of just doing R&D and tinkering. But how do you build a better mousetrap? And our bins are, you know, far superior, and no one else is doing what we're doing as of today that I'm aware of anyway. We just keep improving on it. So we're always, you know, a few steps ahead of the competition.
When did Belfour get involved? What year?
2022.
Yeah.
Were they the inspiration behind, hey, let's franchise it now since we're part of Belfour?
We had a few other people before that that were interested in taking it and franchising it. But we looked at all different options, you know, and there are a lot of options out there, even better economical options probably. But we said, if we created this, we want to give it the best chance of success. That's why we really went with Belfour. And the DNA of both companies kind of fit the same thing. It's the help approach of things. And they had the financial backing and all the departments they have, like marketing and everything.
We were not actually for sale. That we were courted by lots of people when they found us. And we were not actually for sale.
That's great. Just for the audience, Belfour Franchise Group, this is a monster company. They're a monster in two categories. One is franchising. They're probably one of the largest residential commercial services franchise groups out there. Secondly, because I'm from restoration, I happen to know them very well in the large loss world, but they're probably the largest property restoration company in the world. And if a university flooded, if a massive building went on fire, you call Belfour. They're massive. I met the producer of Undercover Boss, and I asked him, I said, because we were going to be on Undercover Boss, and he goes, you know you need to cry, right? I said, really? Because I asked him what the requirements were. You probably know where I'm going with this. I go, well, what are the requirements? And we talk money, and then we talk about crying. I go, who's the most difficult person you ever had to get to cry? He goes, Sheldon from Belfour. I go, yeah. He goes, the guy's sitting on a private jet, right? I mean, he's an interesting guy. He's powerful. He's a titan, right? I mean, come on. He goes, he was hands down the most difficult guy to get to cry sitting on a private jet. I thought it was hilarious, and I'll never forget this story. And then, of course, when I had you on, I'm like, I got to tell that story. It's so funny.
He's actually an awesome guy. Really, really good human.
And what you see is what you get, too, which is just fantastic. And it made us feel comfortable because, you know, my wife says, you know, well, we are being offered, you know, to be purchased by several people. But, you know, I want to check out Belfour, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And they did. They flew us up. Gave us the nickel tour, and we were totally impressed. We're like, wow, okay.
Yeah, the company culture was very important to me. It's a great combining of the two.
You have heard from so many exciting franchise brands in a podcast, and you may be sitting there thinking about which ones could be the best fit for you. If this is the case, give us a call. We provide a free consulting service to prospective small business owners like yourself, and we will help you take a disciplined approach to determining which brands could be the best fit for you. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit www.franosity.com. That's www.franosity.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Once you expand your distribution channel, think about all the cross-pollination and cross-referrals. My goodness, you guys are going to kill it.
We're most excited about because we're seeing it already. You know, we just have the company owned store that we started, right? We don't run it anymore, but we help out like when there's a storm like today, you know, we're helping them all hands on deck. But, you know, what I see the business that not only that Belfour is bringing in, but all the other Belfour franchise group brands, right? It's the Belfour relationships with all the big suppliers. And they are giving orders left and right for refrigeration, freezers, mobile offices. All the franchisees, if it's not 100% guaranteed given, you have to earn the business. And I respect that. But we will make sure that they understand that that's a huge opportunity to their bottom line to grow their business over time.
You have these folks, they become a handyman, and before they know it, they're meeting 16 different franchisees in their market. And it's like a built-in BNI group of just referring. They all take care of each other. So it's a force multiplying effect. And I can see that with this brand, whether it's I think it's Blue Kangaroo or whether it's 1-800 Water Damage. I mean, I could just see these in every driveway wherever Belfour operates. So, and that's quite frankly, what's going to happen with the restoration industry, where they were connecting, they had like hose windows, almost like portholes, like on a ship, where you could plug in hydroxyl or ozone so that you can disinfect and deodorize and all that stuff. But you've taken this to another level. Let's talk more about the container itself. Is anything proprietary? Did you patent anything? How are you putting up a barrier to entry to competition? Because this is a brilliant idea.
We have two patent pendings at the moment. I came from the electronics industry running a big Japanese conglomerate and learned my lesson on patents. They're good and they're, but you have to have the money to defend them, which again, that's where Belfour comes in. They're very good at that. Everything that we built, we deliver is to our specifications. So we know we have quality control. We took a lot of time to do a lot of testing to make sure everything we did was bulletproof. You don't want to get something out there and say, oh, wow, we got to rethink that. You want to know that before it goes out in the field.
Can you elaborate at all on what exactly is patented? Is it the door? Is it the seal? Is it the refrigeration?
Well, it's all about not only the way it's constructed, but also the way it's serviceable. And if you have something out in the field, the last thing you want to do is have difficulties on how you're going to be able to service a unit, God forbid, because no one's really doing climate controlled or anything, that you don't have to disturb the content that's inside. So we have a whole thing around that. And when we bring in people to our meet the team days over here, we show that to them. And they get to see it in person. And when they see it, it's a total game changer. In fact, when people walk into, for example, one of our bins or my mobile office, and they see the total different way it's constructed, you know, everything in our bin is fully insulated. And the most difficult part a lot of people have were really with the ceiling, right? Getting that down. But all the walls, the ceiling, the doors, everything is fully insulated.
They were designed from scratch to do what they do.
Can it be a walk-in cooler?
Yes, we do refrigeration units. We have combo units. And by the way, everything that we have in our product line, it plugs into a 110 standard wall outlet. That's a non-GFI.
I've rented pods many times. I thought that their delivery system was the most clunky system I have ever seen. And just getting that thing in my driveway, I'm like, man, it has to be a better way than that. Then I saw your delivery system. Did you create that?
No, I wish I could take credit for it. And they do an awesome job. And you could stick and park one of these anywhere, just about. They jackknife into the parking spot without a problem. They're phenomenal.
I agree with you. When I saw it, I said, okay, that's a game changer. And I love the tagline too. You park it, you pack it, and then you plug it in.
It's trademark copyright. And Kathy came up with that because that's what we do. We tell people all the time, when you order from either a moving company or another container type company, you're touching the content several times or you got to take it on and off. Ours, you can just literally plug it in at your facility. We have them out there as mobile offices, mobile warehousing, people's homes, and they become an extra added on room to their home that gives them peace of mind that they know everything will stay safe and they can check on it while it's there.
Riff a little bit between the two of you on the call. I think you both can just kind of riff all. Right now, the average person's listening and they're saying they came up with an idea where it's refrigerated storage. Okay, when would I need that? It's more than that. I'm hearing about she sheds. I've heard about a music studio. I've heard all sorts of things that have nothing to do with storage. Hey, we need an office on site instead of a cheesy trailer that a lot of contractors is like, no, let's get this. So tell us a little bit about, here are all the things really outside of storing things to protect it from mold and mildew. Here are all the customers that we have.
We've talked a lot about this business to people. And when people come to us, because we are so different, I always say that the only thing we have in common with our competition is four walls and a roof. I always try to explain to potential franchisees when they come so they can see the big picture. to think of it not as just a climate-controlled storage bin or a mobile office. Think of it as climate-controlled space that's portable. And when you do that, it changes everything in your mind of your possibilities and your customer base. It can be anything. We have people that use them as recording studios. We have people that do dog adoptions in them and move the containers around so they can keep the dogs cool during it. We have people that use them as emergency space or at fairs so that they have a cooling zone. So if you think of it as just space, it can really be anything. Printing studios, yoga studios. I mean, we've had them as everything you could think of. We have a new concession stand that we can use and with our refrigeration that one of our new franchisees wants to use at colleges for parties, for beer tabs and selling their shirts and stuff. So literally they can be used everywhere for anybody.
So you will see them. In fact, we have one today that was just delivered. It's going to be on the first or ninth hole, I forgot, of a golf tournament. And it's a cooling zone and they'll hand out refreshments and everything like that out of it. We do with some of the bigger restaurants here, like, you know, the Ritz Carlton and the Hilton, they rent our refrigeration or our freezers and other bins for that purpose. So they have everything right on site and they don't, you know, so we're a one-stop shop. If they need extra mobile room to check people in, they need a concession stand, a refrigerator, a freezer, or just even a basic bin. Even our basic bins are fully insulated. We don't go down the cheap road. We're not chasing pennies for our franchisees. We want to go after dollars. We want to have higher rental rates than our competition. And that way it gives our franchisees a better way to make more money with fewer bins. But we're the only full line assortment company of bins. So when you think of like a Polar Leasing or a Mobile Mini, we're all of those wrapped into one.
Let's talk about the revenue streams. Where are the profit centers? Number one, obviously, refrigerated bins, right? So we got that. Now I'm learning you have non-refrigerated bins, just straight up.
We only do swing door because it keeps all the elements out.
Right. I've rented the rail is all off. Anything can sneak in there.
And not only that, it's when you go to move them and your content shifts and it falls, you know, against the roll-up door, then you can't get it up. And I always tell people, well, shift happens. You know, it's just the nature of the beast, right? With the basic people out there that are just supplying a basic container. But again, you're supplying a much inferior container because everything is fully insulated. That really helps protect everything that's in there.
I like that. So keep going with revenue streams. Do you sell insurance as a profit center? Are there other revenue streams to discuss relative to your business?
Sure. Besides the rental of the bins itself and all the different categories, we also do a contents insurance program. That's a true insurance. We do lots of accessories, moving blankets, straps, all kinds of different things used to pack and load with. We sell a lot of that.
Yes, we do cameras for the mobile offices, right? So it's a surveillance system that records everything. That way they don't have to go rent from a third party. Everything attaches right to the bin. Everything is 100% solar and wireless. So there is no need to run wires to do it. Racks, we had customers give us the ideas, to be honest with you, Cliff. I wouldn't have thought about renting racks that were food grade to the hotels and all the people that do these festivals and all, but we rent those out. Generators, you rent out generators if they need it. So there's a whole slew of, and I'm sure it's things that we're not even thinking of that we can, I'm sure the franchisees will come up with some great ideas that they'll bring to us as well.
I bet you half of McDonald's menu came from franchisees, not corporate. Right. So you're exactly right. People will continue to push and push and push your brand and take your product into areas you go, I didn't even know we could go there. I didn't even think in a million years that we'd see our bin in that environment. Like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, what was a she shed? I had a neighbor, my old neighbor. She's like, you want to see my she shed? I didn't even hear about that. Right. Because then the man cave was there and they're like, well, wait a minute, where's our space?
And we did that here. We had a married couple. She wanted her own space for her yoga and her printing of her things. And her husband wanted a meditation room at a man cave. So they had them just on their property plugged in. They're so well insulated. The one thing we didn't bring up is they also heat. They don't just cool, but has a heat pump. And that way it really will make sense for, you know, we can do just about the whole country. We're working on a better heating element for when it goes below zero. after like 20 degrees. And the other thing that we show here is a solar powered bin, you know, off of a solar powered generator, and operates the entire mobile office for about 7 or 8 hours a day, depending on the sunlight.
How has Helene, today is the 4th of October, 24. Helene was supposed to hit Florida, ended up cruising up through North Carolina, Tennessee, et cetera. How has that impacted your business? What are you doing in this environment?
Taking a lot of calls, working around the clock to make sure that we can hit everyone that we can. If you're being called by many companies, not just Belfour, you know, how fast can I get one? How many can I get? How far will you drive up to? That's why we need more franchises. And, you know, that's a key part right now of our growth. And obviously, we're going to see more and more natural disasters, which is only going to feed into the business. It gives us the opportunity to keep designing and develop new products that would help in those kind of situations with storms. It's a tough time when you think about storms.
We've had some comments where they'd say, well, we don't live in an area that gets storms. It's interesting because right now, look at North Carolina, Georgia, even Indianapolis had lost power for a couple of days in areas. Disasters happen everywhere. So it's not exclusive to Florida or anything like that.
Right, absolutely. And remodeling happens everywhere. And that's really what started this. It was remodeling of a home, which ended up happening during a storm. It was the remodeling that really created it. Whether the storm came or not, your stuff still sat in a facility that wasn't climate controlled and destroyed your products. That's why I wanted to go through revenue streams, because storm belts are irrelevant to the success of the model.
80% of our business is a B2B business. So we do mostly builders, remodelers, and remediators. That's the meat and potatoes of our business.
Yeah, it's repeat business. It's a repeat customer. You know, when you say revenue streams, you know, I always looked at it now that we're in it. You know, it wasn't designed to be this way, it just happened to be this way. It's three business models, you know, or more in one. You know, if you line them up, like our facility, if you come visit us here, they're all lined up. And you feel like you're driving up to a self-storage facility. You have non-climate control, you have climate control, right? So that's one revenue stream. The other revenue stream is you can deliver them. And that's what really is the magic sauce, if you would. And then you have another revenue stream as like the Polar Leasing and those kind of companies that you're also delivering refrigeration and freezers to, you know, all the catering companies and all the big events and all that. That's why we designed the concession stand. It was by people coming to us saying, what else can we get from you, or what else can we use? And then, of course, being in construction, mobile offices and mobile rooms or mobile spaces, because they're much more than that. And what sets us apart is, again, when you're renting from the others on those items, they need to be hardwired. You have to hire an electrician to unhook it when you're done, right? You have to have it inspected. And these you just simply plug into a 110 outlet. So it saves time, it saves money. We can, with the mule system that you were mentioning before, could be easily relocated on the job site without a costly roll-off truck trying to maneuver it and get it out of there. So I just think that you're not relying on just one aspect of the business. Like if you're just a delivery of a container company, you're really hoping, you're praying that you're going to get business on just that move. And you're pretty much in the moving business, right? But you're not doing as much as we are in the construction field or B2B. So that takes a lot of more energy and time out of your company.
And I'll also add to that our bins, because they have climate control, people keep them for much longer.
What is the average length of rent of a customer?
Off the top of my head, I would say 6 to 9 months, which probably lines up very nicely with how long it takes to remodel a home.
It's interesting. How much does it cost? I know there's varying, but let's stick with the refrigeration or the climate control unit. What would be the cost to rent that per month in Naples?
Right now, of course, it's seasonal at times or whatever, right? So, and we don't know the true ceiling of it. Like right now, I looked online, I think, because we're not involved with the company store that much, but it's around $450 a month for a climate control. And that's a 16-footer, a 20-footer. And that's a big part of our business. And it just keeps growing and growing by leaps and bounds. And then the refrigeration or freezers, they're like $17.99 a month. So we have a much higher ring at the register when we go to rent. You know, it's funny, you mentioned earlier too that, you know, like, what are you doing with the storm that hit? They're disrupting the business model of this industry. They have products stateside like, we're ready to roll. So the team down here that has the company store and our first franchisee, by the way, who they're shipping right now, this got some of their delivery today up in Athens, Georgia. There is no wait time to get these things from overseas or whatever. We're just saying, okay, you know, are you ready to receive them? We're ready to ship. So you could literally be in business much quicker than anyone else. As you expand, after you start with your initial package, and now you're in the growth mode after a few years and you get comfortable, everything under your belt. If you want to keep adding on, not only will Belfour ship you from one of their two or three locations, your product, they will also, if you're in good standings, obviously, they'll fund your growth because they believe that much in the business and in their franchisees. And there's no other company in this industry, as you know, being disruptive in the industry, nobody is keeping product stateside. Nobody that says, yeah, we're going to ship it to you and we're going to help you finance your growth down the road.
That's great. You have a huge inventory stateside. Smart. This way you don't have supply chain issues and delays. I've seen that with other franchise concepts where everything was manufactured overseas and then they started selling franchises and it caused a lot of issues. Keep the storage units stateside and be ready to go, especially ready, not only ready to go for new franchisees, ready for expansion. You need 5, 10, you need one. Great. Keep scaling your business. Keep growing your business. Love it.
We're talking everything too. You know, they're inventorying the delivery system. They're delivering, you know, the trusts, you know, everything's in stock, ready to go. Like, we're not messing around and we are really there to support the franchisee to give them the best way to get to success in a quick way.
What is the investment level and how many containers am I getting in that investment as a startup?
If there's any Achilles heel to any business, and this one is the industry, it's not Cool Bins or it's not Pack Rat or whatever, it's the cost of entry is very high, right? So it's around $755,000 to like 1.2 or 1.3, depending on the size of your territory and how deep you're going to go into certain models. Like a refrigerator is going to cost you a lot more than just a basic container. So to me, I always do simple math. I leave all the financial and FDD questions to Belfour because they're the experts. I'm just a tinkerer who's retired and is helping them, right? You know, and, but having fun at the same time. But, you know, if you look at the finance part of it, you know, I always tell people, yes, the cost of entry is high. But to your point earlier, there's only very few players in this industry, very few. And so if you couple that with, if who am I going to partner with that's going to help me be one of those big players down the road, it's going to be a company like Belfour. And then you just got to have a high net worth, obviously. And that's always a difficult thing in base when people think they're just going to buy themselves a job. And you have to be okay with delayed satisfaction of getting your money out of it. But you know, we never looked at it that way because we weren't trying to be in the franchise space. Kathy and I, we were just really doing R&D and trying to keep the company small. We were trying not to go over 40 something bins at the time. We're like, we want to run it. We don't want it to run us.
Yeah. I often look back and I think to myself, because, you know, we were running it and keeping it small. We were retired. But I think to myself, if I had had someone who could tell me exactly what to do correctly and had the backing of someone to help me grow, what could we have done with this business? Like, we always talk about if we'd have started this younger, how much different this path would have been. But we slowly tinkered until we were acquired, as opposed to taking a business, hitting the ground running and building it, right? So we had a different scenario, but it will be really fun to watch franchisees do this and become so successful so much quicker than we could have imagined because we just didn't follow the franchise model and had the support, right? Obviously.
Like, you're still in it. You're brand president.
Yeah, we're both presidents, I guess, or whatever you want to call us. But I call ourselves founders and I'm still doing the R&D. I'm helping with the franchisees and making sure they know the best way how to make money and where to look to make money.
For the audience, this is a $11 billion industry, 11. If you looked at storage, just storage is $44 billion, expected to be over $50 billion in the next couple of years, which is just incredible how much money is in this space. People love data points, right? There's 52,000 self-storage facilities with over 2.1 billion square feet of space. When I heard 2.1 billion square feet of space, there are 6.5 square feet of storage space for every man, woman, and child in this country. Think about that. Like, you're born And it's like, hey, you have your 6.5 square feet of rental space waiting for you somewhere in America.
Now you can have portable climate controlled space.
Right. In this $50 billion business comes your $11 billion business growing, I believe, faster, because storage facilities, I think, are growing at, let's just say, you know, 5% per year. But the CAGR for portable storage is like 11, right? So you guys are, I mean, clearly more and more people want it. And it's for obvious reasons, because you're no longer viewed as portable storage. Now you're portable refrigeration, your portable freezer, your portable office, your portable yoga studio, your portable concession. So your space is growing at a 2x multiple compared to regular storage facilities. The average monthly rental for a traditional storage facility is $85 a month. The unit economics of your model is way more attractive to me than to buy 4 acres, spend an ungodly amount of money, and be in the 10 by 10 storage business.
Right. You know, think about it. If you had to construct that, right, the permitting, the time to do it and all, and then you have to pay real estate tax or improvement tax on that lot. With the nice thing about our bins, that there is no improvement tax. You're just parking a movable structure on the lot, and you remove that part of the equation. So now you're more profitable. So I think there's so many benefits that, you know, when people start peeling back all the layers, they see how and where they can save money or make money, and the opportunity, it's, you know, it resonates. But again, it takes money to make money. So it costs to get in. There's a cost of entry.
You know what though, Ernie? I like that. As an investor, I like a high barrier to entry. I don't want to be in a business where, how do I get in? Oh, you need a hammer and a truck. Oh, really? Yep. I want to know that there's a barrier. If it's a degree or like a doctor, I can't just become right? I can't just open up an urgent care center and start treating people, even though I feel I could do probably better than some of these folks today. I'm teasing. At any event, I do like the high barrier because it's like, all right, this is a special club, right? This is a unique club, an exclusive club. Few investors can get involved. I like those 1% type things that only the 5%ers can get in. I personally like it.
You know what the beauty of it is? Honestly, we didn't realize this when we started. It's scalable with 3 to 4 people. My wife and I, we started and I was part-time with a part-time driver. I came out of corporate world. I didn't know how to drive a truck. And by the way, the truck, depending on the state, does not need a CDL license. But, you know, it's interesting because you could really scale this with 3 or 4 people. The goal is you want to hit as many as you want. If you have some people say, yeah, I want to start with my 60 and decide what I want to do from there. No, your goal from day one needs to be, how do I hit 200 and how soon could I do it? And how do I do it profitable? And how do I become a part of the community? And that's where Kathy, that's where her heart has been all the time. I want to be a part of that community because when an emergency happens, they're going to be calling you and you are in that community. Or they're having a big festival or fundraiser. You're a part of it and you're donating your refrigerator or your freezer or whatever it is going to be. It's all about giving back, because when you give back, it comes back to you eventually.
Yeah, I love that, being involved in the community, giving back. That's legacy, right? A lot of people are capitalists who just want to make money. And then there are people like, look, the money will come if you focus on the legacy and doing the right thing. And when you become ingrained in your community, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to make money because people trust you. You're the go-to source. When I was in Marco Island, and I don't know the name of the storm, we had Marco Island is only 3 miles by 6 miles. We all know each other. There's only 10,000 residents year round. What did the local Chevron franchisee decide to do during the storm? In a dollar gasoline environment, he charged $6. And I believe it was people like him that had the state of Florida say there will be no more price gouging during times of catastrophe. You do it, you're going to jail. I'll shut you down. He was one of those guys. And fast forward, this is a long time ago. This is like 1990s. I will never forget what he did to us during that time when we were in desperate need with the red jugs, walking up to him, and it was like $6 a gallon. It's like, you son of a bitch. He never recovered from it. He's got a black eye ever since. And I'll talk about him to this very day. What he did was wrong. And thankfully, the state of Florida implemented those price gouging laws during these times of need. I also love what our state did during the union strike with the shipping containers. He brought in the National Guard. Oh, you're on strike? No problem. We'll just handle the containers ourselves. If it's an asset heavy business, it needs to be labor light. You can't be asset heavy and labor heavy. That's the airline industry. That's the hotel industry. Ton of money in brick and mortar, a ton of people running around, right? I don't want that. If I'm going all in on assets, just show me the light at the end of that tunnel that I don't need a lot of people to scale the business. And you nailed that perfectly. So I'm okay with asset heavy, but don't tell me I need 55 employees per territory, right? So I could scale this thing. I need a driver. I need someone answering the phone. I need someone over, three people, and I'm doing what? Let's talk about that. What is the item 19? Maybe it's the corporate store. I'm not sure.
It is. And we're very, we don't have the right way to deal with it because they're taking numbers from when we were still running the store, right? From that first item 19. If we could share more with you, I wish I could. That's something, I guess, that when people come in, we sit them down, we show them what we can, but there's only so much that they divulge in that item 19. The only thing I could tell you from that, it's got a great EBITDA, for if you look at it, like over a 32% EBITDA, which is super. But I always tell people, you always want to do your own math because every territory and every environment is going to be different on how you're going to set it up. So if you look at what's your cost of the bin, what's the lifespan of the bin, how many would you have rented out at the time, and what's your average rental rate, right? If you take all that, it's easy to come to the number that you would want to come to on your item 19. And, it's funny because we're still learning too, Cliff, about franchising because we knew nothing about franchising. I'm like, oh, I think of Burger King, right? Or McDonald's. When people say, well, how much money can I make? I would say, I don't know. How good are you? I know our work ethic, being from you were from New York, we're from New Jersey. You worked your butt off. Nothing is a given. The only thing I could tell you is that if done correctly, and you put your nose to the grindstone and you got yourself a really good area and you play the Belfour shared services card well and you really develop that relationship and your community, you'll be very successful. I don't see how you can't. But, we don't really just give out a flat item 19 number. It's in there. You can take a look at it at any time, but we don't speak to it. Headquarters speaks.
There is something in writing in the FDD that will share some unit economics with the franchisee.
And that was before, again, it was known as a franchise model. So that's why we always tell people, this was not trying to be over, this was 40, I don't know how many bins in the
40. 42 or 41.
So didn't have a lot of gusto in the numbers, but now, the company store, they're growing. I think next year's item 19 should be much better. Because they're up over 100 plus bins and their rental rates are high and the rental terms are high. I think in the FDD, it said around the 9-month average rental from that time period when took the snapshot of it.
Wow, the corporate store. So you mentioned having 40 and then the corporate store now has 100. And this is over a 2-year period because you sold it in 22.
I think, and they just got more in because of the
storm. They've been building bins all week to accommodate the storm. So we'll be up here. 150 version.
Oh, yeah.
Holy mackerel.
That's why we say Belfour acquired us very early in this process, right? So we didn't have the complete built out business to use as a reference. It's growing with us as we build. It's literally growing next to us as we go.
Where are you now expanding? So I know you've hosted a dozen Discovery Days as we tried pinning you down for the call. Where are you expanding? It sounded like the first franchisee was Georgia. I think you said Athens. Congratulations to them. That's great. Where else are you expanding where you've closed deals?
We're almost done. We have our ink almost on the paper on two prime territories. I can't divulge yet, but hot climate territories that we're very excited about that I think will do extremely well.
Is Boca, Del Rey, Boynton Beach, Palm Beach County market open, available?
We have people that are very interested from that area, but it is still open. So the good thing is, if you're a consultant out there, you're looking to sell franchises, number one, the territories are wide open. Belfour always sweetens the pie to make sure that we do the right thing too, which is really sweet. And they give discounts for 20% on veterans and all, and first responders, another 2,500. And if you buy multiple territories, I think there's a lot of great opportunity out there. We have product always ready to ship. It's keeping that supply chain so that we can support new franchisees as they come on.
For the listeners, this is one of those brands that you're learning about in really the embryonic phase. Most people like Jim Cramer on CNBC like to talk about things after they've gone up 400% and then tell you to buy it. Rarely does he tell you about an unknown company that you need to acquire to create wealth, right? This is one of those brands that you're getting involved in super, super early. You could grab primary territories. Most people get involved in brands when the whole country's aware of it, and the only thing left are tertiary markets that no one wants. Primary and secondary markets are all sold out. Do you have availability in Houston? Yes. The answer is yes. We're wide open. It's a clean canvas. Pick your territory, buy it, scale it, create wealth in it. Like, this is one of those brands. Instead of saying, no, we're sold out, we have some territories available. This is a unique call because not every brand we bring on is at this phase of development.
And the nice thing too about this business is, again, we're learning. And we learned this on our own, probably our second or third year, because, you know, we self-funded, right, getting into it. And you're saying, oh, wow, you know, we paid off that first batch, you know, like, oh, you know, there's no more loan on it. So think about, it's like, I always tell people, it's like the beach chair and umbrella. You buy them and you want to rent them out, but it takes time to rent them out. But once they're paid off, they're paid off. Now you're hoping for depreciation to kick in, right? And that's why it's really important to have a really good accountant or CFO that says, hey, let's take advantage of not just depreciation, but let's take advantage of any other tax that we can as you're growing this business. So now debt becomes your friend for the growth of your business. And I think that's a whole different mindset. For some people, it's difficult to get their mind around. But then the more you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, well, it's going to fund my growth and it's going to help me with taxes. To me, it's a win-win, and you're investing in yourself and your brand.
Any tech on this, meaning like, here's an, you know, storage wars. You have 160,000 storage auctions every year, and that's how they handle non-payment.
Well, our model was designed so that you get your money up front before the bin goes out. The story behind this, what we talked about earlier, was that when we rented from two different competitors, you'd know both names, the process was really bad all the way through. And so when we started this, we said, okay, let's turn this into a business, because we didn't mention that we're assembling our first 10. People were pulling into the parking lot and asking what they were and could they rent them. Literally on day one of assembly. Talk about finding a need and filling it. People were driving by and trying to rent one. The idea was we wanted to have a business that was very easy to run. So we designed everything in this business to be that way. We do not have any AR at all, zero. We collect full money for the rental, delivery, and pickup before it goes out. There is no chasing for money. We have almost no pushback from it.
I like it. It's interesting that the average duration of renting self-storage is 10 months and you are 9. You're right in line with those industry statistics.
For brick and mortar, we're pretty much in line. For portables, we're not, right? You know, portables are usually
much
doing
lower,
you're doing a move. So it's 30 to 45, maybe 60 at best. But now again, mobile offices, I would say, you know, on average, they're 9 months to over a year.
We have them in airports where they're extra warehousing. I mean, we could go on and on about a lot of these bins that are out there for years.
Because there's not enough climate-controlled warehousing, as you know, in Florida. There's not enough. And these are portable. And the great part about it is when we were describing having your own drive-up self-storage facility is you only plug them in when they're rented, when you need to cool them. You're not cooling this huge warehouse. So when you look at a competitor, you know, any other storage competitor, you have to rent a huge warehouse to put them in. Now you got to cool it or heat it. Bins are the warehouse. Just plug them in as you need them.
And they're highly efficient.
Extremely efficient. So now you're not paying for that construction or rental of a big warehouse. All you need is land with electric and water. And the bin, by the way, is your office.
That's great. I like it. You eat what you cook, Ernie. I like it. I live in the bin.
At first, my wife's like, you're not going to really do that.
This is not a PR stunt. I think it's great. We're approaching the hour. You two have been fantastic. Anything I missed? Anything you want to say about the brand?
To me, it's just, it's a unique industry. It's a ground floor opportunity, like you mentioned. It's at its infancy, and it's only going to grow. And with Belfour behind it, it's God knows what the future is going to bring. It's going to be awesome.
Of the 2.1 billion square feet of space, only 46% of it is actually climate controlled, which is remarkable. I never would have thought that to be true. Less than half of 2.1 billion. So when Ernie and Kathy say, like, believe it or not, there are not that many climate controlled, they're not kidding. This is an underserved market. This is a void that needs to be filled. I happen to love this opportunity. If you want to learn more about it, definitely give Justin or I a call or reach out to Kathy and Ernie. This was fabulous. I love learning about you, your brand, and I appreciate your time today. And I know, and I just want to thank you and recognize the storm, your efforts. You've been burning the candle at both ends. And I appreciate you keeping the call with us and giving us an hour of your time today. Thank you so much.
It was really a pleasure.
Pleasure. And always a pleasure.
Hope you come on over to the other coast again and stop in and say hello. We'll give you the nickel tour as well.
Thank you, folks.